Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Talk here. Zach Strief across from me, filling in for the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Timmy, big time Timmy's in at Master Control. He just gives me the point. You know, you're cool when you're like, you're Tim Zimmer. You just kind of give the nod and the point.
Like the little tip of the hat?
Yeah. I know. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Robert Kraft, New England Patriots owner. The prosecution in his prostitution sting, I guess is the best way to put it, in which he got caught up in back in Jupiter, Florida. What was that? February, March? Early March? Yeah. They're going to release the videos. They want to release the videos. And I don't want to see them, but I do want to see them released. You get what I'm saying here, Zach? I don't want to sit down and watch it frame for frame. But I don't. I certainly want to see it released. That was your reaction during my Manscaped commercial.
Yeah, it's similar. I laughed at the Manscaped commercial. I think that's funny, but I don't want to. He's 77.
It's almost like picturing your grandfather, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what is on these videos, but yeah, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see it.
Do you want them released though?
I don't need
not them. That you want to watch them. I'm not saying from a viewing pleasure standpoint, just in general.
No, I don't know. I guess like anymore, you know, we live in a climate where, you know, I'm just going to form my own opinion. It doesn't matter what is happening around me. I'm just going to form my opinion, and that's what I'm going to believe no matter what, and it doesn't matter what comes out about it, or I'm just going to. So I guess people need to see it to believe it, right? I guess, but like. I don't know. I don't have that view. I don't know why they would just like randomly falsely accuse
the Patriots owner.
Yeah, I mean, like
they're not going to just drum up charges on the Patriots owner.
Right. You know what we should do? We should go after somebody that can hire a team of 400 lawyers. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to go.
Because we got a good chance of winning that one.
Yeah, it's just like I don't know. I'm sure something happened. I'm sure that he made a statement apologizing to his family, and I'm sure it's not a proud moment and you know. I don't need to see it, and I don't need them to release it because, and maybe I'm just doing exactly what I said. I just assume that he did it,
so right?
So I don't need to see it.
Yeah, I don't just assume. I'm very confident that he did it.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I'm just I don't know how to say this. I just want to see him come out just because it's validation. Not that I don't want to like actually. Oh, I'm gonna go dive and start looking at him. Yeah. I don't want to watch. I definitely do not.
You don't want to watch.
There's no voyeurism or none of that going on.
But you want like you know there's.
What proof?
There's again.
I don't think I've ever seen you this uncomfortable.
Know. No, it's not even that I'm uncomfortable. It's just like such a. I mean, when you really think about it, it's like the question is inherently kind of funny.
Right.
Right.
Do you want to see videos of Robert Kraft and prostitution?
Right. Right. Like, I mean, there's some really easy answers to that in my brain.
Which but then there's inherently
all these other, no. Exactly. But then there's all these other, you know, there's all these other factors. Like, you know, do you want, you know, somebody to get off of something like that without any punishment? You know, I mean, listen, all of these things end up going to some form of a settlement because. The legal process is long and it takes time and it takes money and all these things. And so, you know, eventually something just kind of gets settled and everyone. Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's, I don't know what it is.
Next segment, please. Let's move on.
Now, I do know, you know, there's the video of him at the Super Bowl
dancing.
It was not impressive.
No.
It was not an impressive performance. Maybe, I mean.
Who's a better dancer, Sean or Robert Kraft?
Sean wins every time. But Sean's not 77 either. So maybe you got to check back with Sean in 25 years.
But then again, Sean, all Sean's dance consists of is just kind of rotating the upper torso.
You know what? There was a rhythm to a song that was playing in Sean's video.
Okay.
Right? I mean, he was doing like, you know, he was like doing the mummy, right? Just throw these arms out front. I mean, really, the guys around him that were kind of emulating him turned it into a dance, which I don't think he had really established yet. Robert Kraft did none of that. There was no – it doesn't follow the music. It doesn't make sense for what was playing, any of those things.
Now that we got that out in the open, Doug Thompson, LSU Tigers – color analyst next here on Sports Talk. What a segue. This is WWL. You know it's baseball when you hear this song, Zach. It's just synonymous. It goes right along with it. LSU baseball taking on Florida tonight. Originally, it was going to be a 6 o'clock first pitch, moved back to 8 because of the weather. LSU 9-6 in the conference. Florida 6-9 in the SEC. And LSU's trying to right themselves right at the right time. This is where typically LSU tries to make that run towards the postseason. And they're coming off a series loss to Missouri, a midweek loss to ULL. All right, so we got Doug Thompson on. All right, Doug Thompson joining us now here on Sports Talk. Doug is LSU Sports Radio Network color analyst at DT9 Tigers. Doug, it's been a rough, 7 days. Do we have any positive news about the injuries that LSU's had in terms of Zach Hess and Zach Watson, along with Chris Reed?
In fact, we do. Zach Hess tonight can probably be expected to maybe toe the rubber if when Mikhail Hilliard's finished the game as a close game. If it's a blowout either way, obviously they're going to try to be proactive and try to rest him as much as possible. But Hess is telling everyone, coaches, players, teammates, training staff, that he has no pain and he's ready to go. So if it's a close game, I think Hess will come in relief of Hilliard. And we will also see tonight back in the lineup Zach Watson and Chris Reed. I think Hal Hughes will be the only currently injured guy that won't see any action this weekend.
Doug, as
that
a pitcher,
is enough for you?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much, Doug. I enjoyed our visit the other night at the Wally Pontiff Classic, Wally Pontiff Junior Classic, I should say. Frustrating midweek losses again for fans. Doug, do the players feel that as much as the fans do, or is that more of a fan thing?
Well, no, I think everybody is associated with the program feels it. But I'll tell you, if you look around the country, like I do during the midweeks, or certainly around the league, everybody has this problem. Maybe not quite to the degree of LSU, but simply the limit of these 35-man rosters now have created parity across college baseball and all at all different levels. So these teams are more equally talented throughout their lineups and able to compete against mid to bottom of the end of the barrel of SEC caliber pitching. So I don't think it's a problem just LSU's having. I think it's kind of a trend you're seeing across the country.
Doug Thompson, former LSU Tiger, national champion as well. Doug, you look at Florida's this year, 6-9 in the conference. This is not a typical Kevin O'Sullivan squad. They don't have Alex Fiedo, Brady Singer on the hill. They're actually at the bottom of the league in team ERA.
Yeah, no Singer, Fiedo, Puck Magic, nothing like that this year. In fact, they have in the league, they have a 6.91 ERA. So I see some opportunity for an LSU offense that's been struggling a little bit to maybe put some runs on the board against this Florida pitching staff that has struggled across the year. I mean, their ERA, even outside the league, is 4.64, but they're almost at 7 in league play. So hopefully the Tigers can put some runs on the board this weekend and take care of business here at the box. A very wet box, I might add. Now, very wet out in the outfield.
Okay, yeah, so does it look like an 8 o'clock start is likely?
Well, the rain has stopped, Christian, but there is water holding down the lines in foul territory. All of the center field warning track is covered right now. But one of the great things about the new Alec Box Stadium is that it drains very well. I have been completely shocked many nights here over the past couple years when rain's downpouring sideways, and we still play baseball.
Doug, LSU baseball this year's kind of not been able to catch themselves on a run. It seems like they start picking it up, and then you look at the series loss to Missouri, and you kind of have a letdown. Is this team equipped to make a run at the end of the season this year?
Yeah, I think so, just as well as anyone else. We've been through one half of the SEC. Two teams are 10-5 in the league. Georgia in the East and Mississippi State on the West in the Western Division, and then you have four teams at 9-6, one team at 9-5-1. So LSU happens to be one of those teams at 9-6. They're still in the hunt. which was incredible considering that stretch that they went on there, being at Georgia, at Mississippi State. I think that they've really done well the first half. I think they have as good a chance as any. But as you guys well know, injury is everything. You have to avoid it at all costs, especially on the mound. So I'm glad to hear coming to the ballpark today that Zach Hess is actually feeling better. A groin injury is one of those ones that can linger on forever. So, yes, I think LSU's got as good a chance as any. I think this is a great opportunity, much like the start of the first half against Kentucky, to be able to play a team, Florida, that's not the normal Florida that we're used to. They've struggled this year. Perhaps LSU could take advantage of that this weekend and start off as well as they did against Kentucky, who they swept to start off the SEC season.
Doug Thompson at DT9 Tigers, color analyst for LSU baseball on the LSU Sports Radio Network. And looking at their offense, Florida's offense, I'm talking about, Doug, here, they're fifth in the SEC in team batting average of .289, 42 home runs. So that offense can hurt you a little bit. If you're Mikhail Hilliard making the start tonight, how do you approach this Gator lineup and how do you attack them?
Well, I think the key to Mikhail Hilliard, two things. Like for every pitcher, get ahead. One of those first two pitches has to be a strike. And I think what makes him exceptional is when he gets a get me over curveball over early in the count, where it's, again, one of those first one, two, maybe three pitches. Because when they see that curveball with the tumbling action that it has a very sharp break, then later in the at-bat, he can bounce the one that they'll swing at. If he's unable to do that, then they'll simply spit on the curveball late and make him throw his fastball, which isn't his best pitch. It sits around 85, 86 miles an hour. So the key is to get ahead early and to get that curveball early over for a strike early in the count.
Doug, I was surprised today when I was looking up some of the stats, looking at research. I think LSU is the only team in the SEC that has not picked off a would-be base stealer. The only team.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. The woes continue, and it's not just the pickoffs. Against us, opponents are 66 of 75 in stolen bases, 19 of 23 in league play. And a lot of that has to do with the pitcher, Brock Mathis. Has a pretty good arm. He's pretty quick back there. But it takes a runner 3.3 seconds to move from first to second base on a steal. So, therefore, we know that a catcher being under 2 seconds is exceptional. That's the time that it hits the catcher's mitt from the time all the way to the time that it hits the shortstop or second baseman's mitt out at second. That means the pitcher's got to be around a 1-3, 1-2 to home plate. And LSU simply hasn't done that. They've been around 1-4, 1-4-5 all year. And it's showing. We're just not able to hold runners very well. It's one of our – I think it's one of our biggest weaknesses.
Doug, when you look at Antoine Duplantis, a career hitter right around 300 or perhaps even higher than that, and he's chasing Eddie Furness for the most hits in the SEC in all-time history, and he's hitting .284. I mean, that average is really starting to plummet. What's going on with Antoine Duplantis?
Well, he's just not getting hits to fall, and it's been a very streaky season for him, which is unlike the first 3 years. He was – extremely solid. I mean, he's hitting .280. What is it now?
.284,
like you said, and in SEC play, .250. So unless they can find some offensive firepower, I don't know if that's going to be Antoine Duplantis catching fire or maybe a guy like Saul Garza who came in, expected to hit a bunch of balls out of the ballpark, hasn't done so yet. I don't know what the answer is, but one of those guys or someone else unexpected is going to have to start driving some runs home.
Cade Beloso.
The Tigers going to have Cade Beloso has been one of the more solid, consistent hitters throughout the course of the year. He had a rough month of March, but he's turned around here in April after starting out lightning hot in February to start off the season. But, yeah, there's going to have to be more guys like Cade Beloso to step up and perhaps do a little bit more than what was expected.
Doug Thompson at DT9 Tigers, color analyst for LSU baseball on the LSU Sports Radio Network here on Sports Talk. Overall, is it conceivable to think, Doug, and I know LSU has their warts, but this is the kind of time or kind of a matchup here when you look at the next two series with Florida and Alabama, it's conceivable to think that you can get five out of the next six.
Well, five out of six would be great, of course. And, yeah, that's what you're aiming for, try to win them all. But, yes, I do think that LSU, considering that it's these two teams and they have both struggled, Alabama has really had a rough year this season. They are – what are they in the SEC?
They're 4-11. 4-11.
Yeah. I knew it was way down there. So, yeah, I don't think you could ask for anything better to start off the second half here, to have two teams that have really struggled this season.
Doug, we'll let you run. Have a good call tonight with Chris Blair.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Doug Thompson, color analyst for LSU baseball on the LSU Sports Radio Network. LSU and Florida tonight at 8 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Zach, you're getting a little dose of some LSU baseball, man. I know you've kind of gotten into it a little bit more this year than perhaps when you were playing for the Saints.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't follow it at all when I played for the Saints. And really, college baseball is not big at all up north.
Sure.
You know, it just isn't. It's just not near as popular. And so when I moved down here, I was shocked at how much bigger it was. Pro baseball up north is really big. I went to school in Chicago. Everyone talks about the Cubs. Cincinnati, everyone is a Reds fan. Like, going to opening day in the Reds at Great American is like a rite of passage in Cincinnati. But college baseball really never was. But Ryan Schiff is a good friend of mine, and so I call him occasionally and try and keep up. But what I realized, you know, you're sitting there talking to Doug, and I'm like, okay, I'm outmatched. So I'm just going to sit over here, and I'm going to listen to him talk. I'm going to learn a little bit and kind of let it go. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't want to pretend that I know what I'm talking about with them.
You know what's frustrating, though? Again, I pointed a stat, and I wrote about it in the baseball preview, LSU versus Florida preview, online at WWL.com. I just can't recall a time in my years of watching LSU baseball that here we are halfway into the season, and LSU hasn't even picked off a runner.
That's pretty wild.
Right.
It's pretty crazy.
Kentucky and Alabama, who are in the cellars of the SEC, at least have one pickoff. So it shows you, again, all these college teams, if you go through the stats, and it's not just you and I that can do it, you can Google SEC baseball stats. If you're a fan, it'll show you that you'll be surprised when you look at it and you go, gosh, I figured LSU, as many strikeouts as I've seen them have, I figured they would lead the league in strikeouts. Not the case. I mean, you would think that they lead the league or they have a terrible fielding percentage. Actually, they're right around where they typically are, third or fourth. I mean, so I guess when you go into the stats, you look at it and you go, it's not as bad as it looks, and maybe you would think it is because of the struggles that LSU baseball has had.
I think the real issue is that the expectation of LSU baseball down here is so astronomically high that a season that they're good and not great is some tragedy.
And you said that you're outmatched. You said it right there.
Oh my gosh. You said
all of it right there is the expectation that goes against LSU and Paul Maneri, the calls of, hey, Paul Maneri is just an average coach.
They say that five games into the season, every season.
Mm-hmm.
And I've caught that just by being a casual observer.
Guy's got a 700 winning percentage in college baseball. All right, he won at Air Force, won at Notre Dame. He's won a national title. Yeah, everybody's going to say, yeah, but that was 10 years ago. Dude's won a national title. Doesn't matter. Hard to do. This right. is Sports Talk here on WWL. Hanging out with the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, also a former Saints offensive tackle. Number 64, reporting eligible for the day, filling in for the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Zach, give me the funniest thing you heard somebody say in a huddle during a game.
So I'm trying to remember the game. It was an intense game. It was a fourth quarter drive. There was 2.5 minutes left. We'd called a timeout. And I think it was need a touchdown. I mean, it was, you know, we're probably at the 35-yard line going in.
Sure.
And there was, you know, it's funny, in the locker room, there's especially since the invention of the internet, there's all these little videos that kind of like take hold of a locker room. Everybody, you know, you see a video and everybody's, you know, using the quote from the video, you know, and it kind of like permeates the whole team. And there was a year that the Badman videos were very big. And Jimmy Graham was the ringleader of the Badman videos. And so basically it's like a bunch of spoofs of the new Batman movies, right? And so it's like there's like, you know, Batman and Bane and you know, they take what is a very intense scene in the movie, and it turns into this, like, you know, it's like a continuous stretch of sexual jokes. And
mm-hmm.
So Jimmy walks into the huddle, 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go, very tense, walks into the huddle, and Drew hadn't gotten to the group yet. He's kind of like jogging over, and Jimmy kind of pokes his head in the back of the huddle, and he says, hey, guys.
You're trying to edit this a little bit.
I'm so trying to edit. Well, it's completely inappropriate. I told you when we were on break,
right.
It's so inappropriate. Basically, he says, how'd that go, by the way? I fight crime in a rubber suit. And then there's a line there that I can't say. But if you go and find the video,
right?
But it was in this dark Batman voice, and the whole huddle starts laughing, right? And it's something that we'd all been saying like constantly. And it's this very tense moment, and he says that, and the whole huddle starts laughing, and Drew like gets to the huddle, and he's like comes in and takes a knee, and he's like locked in, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this is like his time, right? Mm-hmm. He's locked in, and he gets freaked out, starts looking all over the huddle, and everybody in the whole huddle is sitting there laughing, and it was just kind of like it took him a good 4 seconds to just like shake. I'm just gonna ignore that everybody's here over here laughing, and it's like this huge moment, but. It happens a lot. I think there's always we've always had some guys that I think could that kind of know the tone of a huddle and know when it was time for something like that and when it was time for hey everybody lock in and you know sometimes you need a laugh in mm-hmm. the huddle. You know, there's that really famous
break the levity.
There's the really famous story of Joe Montana,
in
the Super Bowl. Hey, that's John Candy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's there's something to that. Someone that has that type of of their, you know, thumb on the pulse. Drew doesn't have that. Drew's fully locked in.
Did Drew afterwards say, hey, what was that all about?
I'm sure he heard the story, and I'm sure he was like, well, I was kind of weirded out by it, but no, certainly not on the sideline of that game. I mean, it was.
Is he that intense all the time?
Yeah.
Like
not
that dialed?
Not all the time, but yeah, I mean, on a football field.
How would you describe Drew's sense of humor?
I would say his sense of humor is a little immature. I think he's probably like, for as mature as he is as a person, I think he likes like slapstick and wet willies and things like that.
He thinks that's funny?
It's fairly immature. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's sophomore kind of humor.
I think that's mostly all of us, really. But yeah. I mean, when you spend all your time around a bunch of guys in a locker room,
Why do they call Pete Carmichael Sneaky Pete?
Because he doesn't ever talk or hardly make noises.
But when he laughs, he's got like a yeah.
Yeah. He's got.
Do y'all tease him about that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone teases. Pete's like impossible to tease. He's super nice, right? He's very quiet. He's never yelled at one person in 13 years in that building, right? Like, I think I've seen him yell once and it was at an official. It was not at a player, right? So I think it's just that he's just this like very quiet and yet. He's building and designing half the plays that we're running every week. So,
I was about to ask you how big of a role does he play?
Huge. I mean, probably the most. You know, here's the thing for Pete, and you know, Pete's kind of been in this offense now for 13 years. Super smart guy. Is
Boston College guy?
Yeah, Boston College and baseball guy.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, he. I don't think people see him as having the personality because he is so quiet to kind of make that next jump. I mean, you know, we've seen him get head coaching interviews, but you never really see it be serious. And at the end of the day, that guy, from an offensive perspective, is as good as anybody in football. And listen, Pete, you know, Pete, even as a play caller, took over in 2013, and Pete was phenomenal. I mean, he was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Actually –
2012.
No, it wasn't 2012. Well, he did it in 2012.
Oh, you got hurt when Peyton got hurt.
It was and he was phenomenal. I mean, we were number one offense in football, and Sean spent all of his time in the training room when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. He went upstairs in the office. He was with us in the training room. You know what I mean? Like, that's when they started turning the air up or down a little bit in the training room. It used to be an ice box because Sean was so uncomfortable. He realized what he was doing to us. But Pete's a phenomenal play caller, a really good excellent coach, an excellent play designer. But he's kind of, you know, underneath Sean, so.
Okay. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Going inside the Buccaneers' brutal schedule with Roy Cummings, Buccaneers insider for PewterPirates.com. This is WWL. Breaking down the opponents in the NFC South, their schedule. The Saints' season schedule is out, obviously. Looking around the NFC South. Joining us now, Roy Cummings, Buccaneers insider for PewterPirates.com, at R. Cummings, FHCN. Roy, before we get into the schedule of the Buccaneers, which is brutal, how has Bruce Arians been received down there on One Buck Place?
You know, there's a lot of people who are really excited, and they should be. I mean, I think Bruce Arians is one of the better coaches around the league, for sure. It has been for a while. I think he's a professional head coach. You know, he's not, with all due respect to the guys who have, he's not just a guy who's been – promoted from a coordinator spot, you know, because he had a good year or two. He's somebody who's done it, and, you know, he was promoted from that position at one point, but, I mean, he's proved himself as a head coach. And, you know, so a lot of fans are very excited because, you know, he seems to be all in at this point. But then there's also some fans who said, you know what, you know, we've been through this so many times where, you know, you think you've made the right call and with a coach, and it just doesn't work out. So there is a little bit of skepticism, but for the most part, I think everybody feels like they got this one right. But again, let's, you know, they thought they got it right when they brought Lovie Smith in too. So and that didn't work out. So, you know, but I would say 2/3 of the fan base is pretty excited. About 1/3 is a little bit skeptical, I should say. And you can understand why.
Roy, I think obviously the kind of elephant in the room on the Bucks schedule, you guys are going to go, you're not going to play a home game in Raymond James Stadium from September 22nd until November 10th. It's a 6-week stretch with a bye in the middle. That's got to be fairly unusual. And I played for a long time. I know I never saw anything like that, but that is a heck of a stretch for a football team.
Yeah, it really is. By the way, it's an honor to be on with you, Zach. You were a great player, that's for sure. And it's an honor to be on the radio with you. But you're right. I mean, that is, I don't remember anything like that either. And I've been covering this team now for 21 years. I don't remember anything like it. William Barr actually came out today and said, yeah, but look at all the home games they get at the end of the season. So you know, there is a good side to this thing. So they do get a bunch of home games at the end. That's a good thing. But that 7-week run where you're on the road, it includes a game in London, also includes their bye week. But son of a gun, that is an awful long time to be away. And you know what? Here's the other thing. Those aren't easy trips. I mean, they got to go to Seattle on one of those. They've got to go to Los Angeles on one of those. They got to cross the country and then cross a pond and come back. So that's tough. It's not just the amount of time they're away, but I mean, I think somebody added it up. There's more than 30,000 air miles that they're going to be flying just in that 7-week period. That's tough, man. That is really tough. And I think it's going to, you know, before we say that it's going to, you know, it's going to ruin their season. This is a team who thought it was doomed when it didn't have its quarterback for 3 games last year, and it turned out to be the best part of the year. So let's see where it goes. But yeah, there's no question. That's really tough.
How about, is there any disappointment in Tampa? Really the only primetime game, and I don't know that they even consider it primetime. It's just at night is the Thursday night game in week 2 against the Carolina Panthers. Just kind of with the lack of, I guess, diversity in the schedule for the Bucs this year.
Yeah, it's not really special. You know, there's no Monday night stuff. And, yeah, you get the Thursday night game, which everybody's going to get one. They kind of get it out of the way early, and they put them against Carolina to make it interesting. Nice quarterback matchup, you know, if everybody's there. So, you know, see how it goes. But, you know, but this is what happens when you go 6-10, 5-11, you know, 2 years in a row. You don't get those primetime games. You get the Thursday night game because everybody's going to get one. You don't get a Sunday night game. You don't get a Monday night game. And you don't get an opportunity to show who you really are. So, you know, it's unfortunate. But, you know, look, the Bucs are only, you know, they're the ones who put themselves in this position. So I think there's part of them that probably says, hey, you know what, fine. We'll play every Sunday afternoon. That works too. So some teams would probably look at that as a benefit. So I think the Bucs will probably do that for sure.
Roy Cummings, Tampa Bay Bucs insider for PewterPirates.com. Roy, week away from the NFL draft, where are the most pressing holes on this Bucs roster?
Well, it's the way it's been for a while. Defensive line, now linebacker. I mean, I thought going into last season that was their deepest position. But when you lose Quan Alexander, even though he's been hurt, you guys know Quan Alexander from LSU. I mean, he's a heck of a player, and he's gotten better as a Buccaneer, but he's in San Francisco now. So they've got a need now at linebacker and, of course, the secondary. I mean, just about anywhere on defense they have needs. So the good news is this is a draft where, I mean, some people have said you could throw a dart at the board the first 3 rounds and come up with an impact player on defense. They're going to have to do a little bit better than just throw a dart, but I think they're in pretty good shape in terms of, you know, adding to what is an area where they got some weaknesses. Which way they go, you know, there's been a lot of talk here about Devin White being the pick at number 5. Some people think that's too early. You know, if an Ed Oliver is there, for sure. If some of the other guys, you know, if Quinton Williams were somehow miraculously to fall to 4 or 5, you know, I think they got to start talking about making a move. So we'll see what they do. But, you know, I think they're going to come away with a pretty good player, an impact player there for sure at number five. And they think they can get some players that can help them in the second and third round as well.
You talk about the defensive line, and there's been kind of there's been a lot of chatter this offseason about Gerald McCoy, who, by the way, when I saw early on he might be on the trading blocks, I was very excited because Gerald's one of my all-time favorite players really in the NFL. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a player and as a person. But there's really been it really hasn't stopped. And obviously, as they get back to work and getting a kind of an early start with the new coach, Gerald hasn't been there. Has there been any talk about his future in Tampa Bay?
An awful lot. It's kind of been the overriding theme of the offseason so far is, you know, what's happening with Gerald McCoy. And you're right about him not only being one of the finest people in the game. There's no question about that. I don't think Tampa's ever really embraced him the way they should have. It's unfortunate. I don't think they realize how great a player he really is. And now that he may not be a 10 out of 10 level player, if he's an 8 player for sure, you know, they still don't, you know, appreciate him as much. And so what's going on with the Bucs? It's hard to know, really. Bruce Arians apparently literally asked him not to come to off-season workouts. Now, is that because they're getting ready to move him? Is it because they're trying to trade him, want to protect him, you know, from an injury so that they can get the most out of a trade? It may be, but, you know, it may also just be that Bruce Arians said, look, what your role is going to be in this defense, you don't need to be here. Just take care of your family. Get yourself healthy. You know, just get some rest. Keep the body fresh. We'll need you in September. We don't necessarily need you in April. So there may be some of that to it. I think we'll get an answer as we go through the draft because I would think that a week from tonight we may have our answer as to whether he's going to be part of this team going forward. Because if there's a trade, I would think it would have to have something to do with the Bucs getting back something in the first three rounds from whoever wants to buy Gerald McCoy.
Roy Cummings, Tampa Bay Buccaneers insider for PewterPirates.com. Thanks for the time, man.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Roy.
49 days the Buccaneers will go without a home game. Rough. Brutal. Do that again. Zach Street, Christian Garrick here on Sports Talk on WWL. A win over the Ravens. That was a big shocker there
that
for Justin Tucker
crazy.
To miss that one.
I mean, it's funny, too, when all that stuff, I mean, you know, maybe I should know that, but you don't even think the guy, you know, you never miss an extra point in the NFL, and I had that on my chart. What
sure
I didn't have on my chart was he had never missed an extra point in college, and he had never missed an extra point in high school.
Whoa. I did not
it
know
was like,
that.
It was like 286 of 286. Yeah. No,
that's
I mean,
insane.
That all started coming out after the fact. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know, most of the time, it's not like there's a database somewhere to look up kickers, right. High school stats, you know, give myself a little break on that. But yeah, it was like, it was his first miss ever. And it was literally to lose an NFL game.
You said you're a big fan of Gerald McCoy. Why?
A lot of reasons. I think he plays super hard. I think he's a smart player. He's, you know, I think I've always given him a ton of credit. I've played Gerald McCoy a lot of times when their games are not mattering. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a bunch of times we've played the Bucs and they're out of it. There's no long-term incentive other than, you know, whatever's in front of him on that day. And it seems like in those moments, he actually turns it up. I think he realizes he's not going to allow that to be the case. He's kind of a personal pride thing. And that's in and of itself is rare. He's a nightmare to block sometimes. When he's healthy and going, he's a nightmare. It's such a pain. He's so good at penetrating. He's so good off the snap count. I think early in his career, he struggled against double teams. He struggled. You could push him off the ball. I think he accepted that he wasn't good enough and got better at it. Now that's not the case. But he's such a good guy. I mean, really, you know, he's the kind of guy, you know, I played against him for, I don't know, 9 years. And you see him after the game and he comes and he gives you a hug and he's like, how's the family? How's everything going? Good luck. Hope you guys. He's just a good mm-hmm. person. Like, I can appreciate that the guy that's trying to beat me every play in that game, because it's kind of how I always felt. You know, I'm not walking out on the field to injure someone or to embarrass someone. I'm going to win a football game. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to win that football game. But when it's over, I know those guys are going home to somebody, and I know that the guys are nicked up. Like, I hope you feel better. I hope you get better.
Sure.
I hope, you know, have a good season, good luck, all that stuff. Some guys don't do that at all. I think Gerald McCoy, in terms of a combination of from a playing standpoint and a person standpoint, probably my favorite, you know, defensive lineman I ever played against.
The Bucs are clearly looking to move him. If I were to tell you on draft day, the Saints go on the clock, 62 overall, they're not picking a player. They're sending that pick to the Buccaneers for Gerald McCoy. What would your reaction be?
I'd take it. I think for he's got 3 years left on his contract. He's not cheap, but he's also very reasonable. And again, listen, he's in his 30s now, but that's a position, and what he does, I don't see any drop-off in Gerald McCoy. I see Gerald McCoy getting stuck on teams that have no talent around him. But if you told me we're going to give up our second-round pick in next year after the bye week, our third-down pass rush group is Marcus Davenport, Cam Jordan, Sheldon Rankins, and Gerald McCoy, I don't remember the second-round draft pick anymore.
Long forgotten.
Long forgotten.
Coming up next hour, D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, checking in on the Atlanta Falcons 2019 schedule. Yes, those Dirty Birds that were trolling the Saints quite a bit. It's a big year, I think, for Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons, given by what they did last year. If they don't get it done, they're going to look to make some changes up there in Atlanta.
There's a lot of excuses last year with the injuries, and they were decimated by injuries. There's no question. I mean, losing Deion Jones early, I mean, they lost four guys in the secondary in the first 5 weeks of the season. That team was really decimated by injuries, and if they can't win this year and that's not the situation, there'll be changes in Atlanta.
Zach Streif, Christian Garrick here till 7:30. We'll hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network for Game 1 of LSU and Florida tonight from the Box at 8 o'clock. This is WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.